You're listening to the Fat Dude Digs Flicks Movie Podcast Network. What is up, everybody? This is Andy, the resident fat dude of Fat Dude Digs Flicks, coming to you recorded from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it is time for an all-new episode of Let's Talk About. If this is your first time listening, hello. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Typically, Let's Talk About is a chat show where I am joined by a guest. We talk about their life, their loves, and a movie that has had an impact on them. However, this episode is a little bit different. This is an annual tradition here on the show. I am joined by Jess Johansson and Nick Johansson, the brother and sister dynamic duo of Oscar Discourse, to talk about this year's Academy Award nomination. So I won't waste your time with a whole bunch of hullabaloo. We'll just get right into it. But just to say that this was another fun conversation with the two of them. And we talk about, like I said, this year's Oscar nomination. So go ahead and pop some popcorn, grab a soft drink, kick back, relax, and let's talk about the Oscars. All right, everyone. Welcome to this special episode of Let's Talk About. This has become an annual tradition here. One of the several, which I think is a lot of fun to have, like, a few traditions on this podcast. But this is one I super look forward to. If you have been living under a rock the last couple days, the 2024 Oscar nominations have been announced. And let me tell you, they need to be discussed. And who better to discuss the Oscar nominations with than none other than first, Jess Johansson. Jess, how you doing?
I'm good, but for this episode, you might as well call me Little Sebastian because I am a little horse.
Oh, no. Parks and Rec. That was nailed it. Knocked it out of the park. So we got Little Sebastian, and also joining us today, her brother, her movie buddy, Mr. Nicholas Johansson. Nick, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. This is the second year doing this, and last year was such a blast. So I'm just so excited to come back. I'm not going to follow the Little Sebastian joke, though. There's no coming back from that. So I'm just Nick, and I'm just so happy to be here talking about movies.
I'm super pumped to have you both back. Just we started doing this like, what was it, 3 years ago maybe, or was it four? I can't remember how many times we've done this podcast together now.
It's hard to say because there was that like purgatory COVID time.
Yeah.
So I'm just like in general mixed up around like if it's been 4 years or 3 years or what, but I think it's somewhere around three or four.
Yeah. Basically we've been doing this for a decade.
Yeah. A COVID decade.
Thanks to the COVID time. But even before we started doing this podcast, like you were one of those people that it's like, oh my gosh, somebody I can talk to about these Oscar nominees who just gets it, who just understands. And then you asked if your brother could tag along, and I was like, that sounds like fun. And then Nick stood his own ground last year.
Yes.
And so you guys are a 1-2 punch of Johansson's, and I like it. So
I mean, we talk about movies a lot. So mm-hmm. I mean, this is like you said, he is like my movie buddy. Like, yeah, so this will be fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's start with the big one. Why not? Why not just get the huge category right out of the way? We'll start off with Best Picture. And I feel like before I even announce the nominees, I feel like this is a year where the Academy pretty much played it not safe, but like I feel like these 10 titles were pretty much predicted. As soon as award season started, and I'm not super shocked with any of them, but we'll kind of go through the list here. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. So, Jess, I'll start with you. What's your kind of take on these? I guess this category, is there something here that kind of stands out as either like really shouldn't be here, or something that you're kind of like, I wish this wasn't here? What are your kind of thoughts on this category?
Well, I'm kind of with you in that I wasn't terribly surprised by this 10. They've been kind of the 10 that have been talked about it for at least since the Golden Globes, especially when those nominations came out, I think, before Christmas. I mean, if I'm trying to think of any other movie that could be in there, I mean, for me personally, I really enjoyed The Color Purple, but you know me, I'm a big musical sap. But I also really liked The Iron Claw, and we'll get to that a little later, but I'm kind of with the internet on that one, and I wish there would have been at least a little something given to that movie. But all in all, yeah, I think this is a pretty solid 10.
I'm with you actually on both of those movies. The Color Purple was wonderful. As a movie that I, when it was, when it was announced that it was being released, I was like, why are we adapting the musical for the screen? Like, is that going to take away from the original one? No, it took a little bit of time for me to get into it. But once I got into it, I was full on board. Really, would have kind of liked to have seen some more recognition for Fantasia Barrino, but
Yes.
no, I
But
I'm
nobody's talking about that snub, are they? Okay,
nope.
sorry.
Nope. We'll get to that. Don't you worry. And then the other one you mentioned, the Iron Claw, big fan of that one, which I imagine we'll discuss as we go along here. But Nick, what were your thoughts on this category? Are you on board with this category, or was there something that kind of stood out as either an egregious omission or something that you're kind of like, why is this here?
It's like you guys already touched on, it's hard to be angry at anything that's involved in this category. I think everything here is pretty deserving, but just to round out what everybody's touched on is I'm also a big Iron Claw fan, as well as a pretty significant pro wrestling fan for most of my life as well. And to cover like a basis of a reference point for my pro wrestling fandom, it's amazing to me in this category that everything is pointing to a one-on-one matchup at the top with the biggest names in movie and movie creation and Christopher Nolan and Marty Scorsese, kind of your Austin Rock of the Attitude Era thing. And then you also have Bradley Cooper as your Triple H Kurt Angle, kind of on the outskirts, not quite to that echelon yet, but and we'll talk about it as we get into this as well, is Maestro is a very divisive movie, but it's a movie that I respect more and more every day, just by the hustle of Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan, for that matter, too. No, in general, I mean, I think that this is all pointing in one direction, but we'll get to that in a second. But no omissions for me.
It's funny, I almost kind of wanted you to like name all 10 movies and what Attitude Era wrestler they correspond with.
I
Like,
know
that's just
nothing about these people, but I want that too.
you find them. No, I'm just kidding.
I was just enjoying. I was like, yeah, Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, Kurt Angle. Who else we got? Who's Edge? Who's Christian? Let's get it. Let's
Let
do
me think.
this. Yeah, good stuff. We'll maybe if you think of some more, we'll swing back to that one.
Gotcha.
I guess I kind of want to ask then, and this is usually this show is usually just more of a commentary on the na nominations rather than a prediction, but I kind of feel like this year has been, I don't know, listening to the chatter, it almost feels like the winner is kind of predetermined. So maybe I'll ask like what your prediction is, and then what is something that you would love to see kind of sweep in. We'll go in the same order. Jess, how would you answer those questions?
Well, I think I know what you're getting at, and the answer is Oppenheimer. I mean, it's been cleaning up, and rightfully so. Like, I absolutely love that movie. And it's deserving of it. And I think Christopher Nolan has, the Oscars Has I don't think Christopher Nolan has won an Oscar. Is that correct?
No, yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of getting at, the Oscars love a redemption story or like rewarding people for their back catalog of good work. And I think Nolan is an excellent candidate for that. So not to like spoil the next category if it's down, but like I think he's gonna win director too. So
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear what Nick says because he's the betting man.
If
let's talk about it. Let's do your
right.
I forget about what the name of the like really popular online betting is. I was gonna make a really fun reference to that, but I'm
Isn't
stupid.
it
So
Gold Derby?
yeah, Gold Derby. What's your
Okay.
Gold Derby? What's your Gold Derby odds on this one?
If there was odds on favorite in definition, it would be Oppenheimer. It is not even remotely close. I think
Yeah.
that's what I alluded to earlier of everything is pointing towards Oppenheimer getting its flowers, and rightfully so. It's my number one for the year of a 90 set of 97 out of 100 as well. And I just adore every single aspect of that movie. Structurally speaking, what Nolan did, how it's shot, and we'll talk about cinematography here after a while. The performances of it, Matt Damon pulling a rabbit out of his hat and straw man performance. I think that is by far and away going to win. But where you're likely to hear hints of some dispute between my sister and I is I am much higher on the holdovers than she is. I love being curled up in a warm blanket, having a cup of coffee on a snowy day. That's what I imagine the holdovers is as a movie. So I adore
Well,
that.
I'm my own worst enemy on holdovers. I think I just had my expectations very high just because of all of the praise it was getting.
Oh, sure.
And I also, we worked to a brewery before that. And like, I'm old. Like, it was maybe a little too cozy.
I'm just tired. I just want to go home. Why is this movie just like it's a blanket. It's a blanket movie. I'm with you, Nick. I'm a big Holdovers fan. I watched it again the other night and it just made me feel good. And I think having a movie like that every once in a while is just really nice to kind of wash down the movies that are sad or kind of
Absolutely.
shocking. So it was a nice warm feeling. I think Oppenheimer is pretty much going to take it, gonna run away with it. I like the holdovers. I'm a huge Past Lives fan. I will talk more about that on another episode of the podcast in the very near future. I also really like Poor Things. I went to Nebraska and was able to see Poor Things. I know that I don't know if you guys have had the chance to see that yet, so I won't dive into anything too deep on it. But it is definitely worth your time. It is
I
a
hope soon, but
yeah.
South Dakota is a little behind.
Yep. But yeah, just a lot of fun, a really inventive, really creative movie. And I had a really good time with that one. And Anatomy of the Fall is also really good. So I think it's a really solid lineup. But yeah, I think Oppenheimer is probably going to take it. I will say that I do think it's really cool that this cinematic event of the year that was Barbenheimer has kind of carried its way through the summer movie season and all the way to the Oscars, which is really cool, but has also sparked quite a bit of controversy. And let's dive into our next
Oh boy.
category, which is Best Director. So the nominees for Best Director are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. If you are on the internet, you will find that the omission of Greta Gerwig, the director of Barbie, has been considered blasphemy and blasphemy, I guess, at the kindest. And misogynistic at on the opposite side of the scale. I will just say before I even go into comment, giving your guys' commentary on this, I feel like Barbie was a wonderfully directed movie and would certainly have been thrilled to see Greta Gerwig nominated here because I just thought it was a ton of fun. It's so creative, so inventive. This is a really tough year. Like, just a ridiculously difficult year. And so it's hard to kind of be like, how do you narrow it down to five people and not leave somebody out who has done an excellent job? So I think, I think with these five, I haven't seen the Zone of Interest yet, hopefully soon. But from everything that I have heard, this nomination is absolutely deserved. So it's hard to argue. Plus, Greta Gerwig helped Warner Brothers make $1 billion. I think she's okay. I think she's gonna be all right. Nick, I'll
Yep.
start with you on this one. What are your thoughts on Best Director? How's that category look? And you can even throw in your I don't even know if it's a prediction. It's more of a promise as to who you think is gonna win this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Nolan. Let's be honest here. We'll say, just to like run through it real quick, I think Scorsese kind of polished off some oldies in Killers of the Flower Moon. He pulled off some transitions in those movies that kind of brought me back to even like Goodfellas in 1990 and stuff like this. Those sweeping wide angles I thought was very, very kind of a throwback, but almost a welcome throwback as well. The most recent movie I watched is Anatomy of a Fall with Justine Triet, and what I was so taken back by was I went into that movie fairly blind, and what she was able to do with adding in layers and depths of the relationships between the mother, father, son, even the dog.
I was gonna say, can we talk about the dog?
That's the best
Best
dog
boy
ever.
of the year.
That dog like acted like when it was poisoned or whatever. I was just like, oh my God, this dog is like killing it.
I was, oh man, that scene got me.
It's amazing because even down to the handheld footage type, footage that or camera angles that were used in that movie kind of gives almost just a different play on your basic courtroom drama that we've seen 1,000 times before. So I was kind of blown away with the direction of that movie. Obviously, the performance by the lead in that is wonderful as well. But yeah, I think ultimately this is going towards Oppenheimer and Nolan. And I will say about the Barbie thing is my conclusion to this, and I'll let Jessica take some of my time here because I know she has a lot more thoughts than I do. But my take is I think people are taking Barbie for too much. I think Barbie is at the surface level a very solid movie with a wonderful message that grossed over $1 billion. I think you have to be happy with that and just leave bygones be bygones with the Oscars. I don't think it needs an Oscar. I don't think any of it needs an Oscar, really. I think Billie Eilish is gonna win Best Song, whatever it may be. But I think that any movie that features basically a Chevy commercial for 5 minutes during a high-speed chase is needs to be taken for what it's worth. And I think that that's where I come to grips with Greta not being on this list. I would love her to be on this list, but I'm okay without it.
Jess, he set the table for you. So I think I want your Barbie thoughts, but also your thoughts on the category. How do you feel about this Best Director category
Sure.
as a whole?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I've put a lot of thought into this, and here's the conclusion I've come to with all of this. And I say this with the caveat of I'm literally drinking lemon water out of my Barbie cup right now. And Barbie was my favorite movie this year. But the thing is that movie was very much like it's just it really spoke to me as somebody who played Barbies, as somebody who's a woman in this world, like it just emotionally connected with me. And so that's why I love it so much. And so I get why there's a lot of passion behind this movie, especially from women who have, it's not easy for women in Hollywood. That's, we all know that. So that being said, when I first saw that Greta was not on this list, I was bummed. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know whose place she could have taken. And, there's only five slots here. The directing branch votes for best director. So that's a small pool. And it's a male-dominated pool at that. So, I mean, it is what it is. But she's got a shot here at adapted screenplay. We'll get to that too. She's had three of her directorial movies in a row get nominated for Best Picture. Like, and it's like you said, she's had the biggest movie of the year, both her and
Yeah.
Margot Robbie. Like, yeah, they both deserve to get recognition, but I don't think that should be a slight to the people that did get nominated because this was a stacked year for movies. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I think that's the best point. I think it's really hard to kind of look back and say, you know, well, yeah, I mean, she should have gotten it over this person. I think she should be here, but I don't know who to remove because I think
Right.
it was just such an exciting movie. I won't spoil where Barbie ends up in my top 10 list of the year, but I will say it is on my top 10 list of the year. Loved it. Saw it twice. But you know, thinking about the people who the movies that weren't nominated for anything and the direction on some of those movies too, it's like there are movies that were just completely left out of this Oscar pool that you know, those directors directed the hell out of the movie. And it's like, oh man, how do you leave, you know, such and such off of here? Who do you get rid of? And it's just
Yeah.
it's a tough game to play. But I think it's just, I think there's that notion of like, well, you know, the movie got nominated, so that is kind of recognition across the board that it was something special. But yeah, of course you want to see these individual things, you know, individual people get nominated for their work too. Yeah, it's a really tough argument, I think. And I
Well, and I
understand.
think it's just because the movie was so popular, that's why it's
Yeah.
being so talked about online too.
Yeah.
And it's gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the flavor of the week. Like, I'm sure there'll be something else that happens that, you know, nobody will even remember this happened till March when the show happens. But yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's keep the oh, my thoughts on Best Director. I'll just say yeah, it's you know, Christopher Nolan has had such a body of work that even if Oppenheimer wasn't as good as it was, there's a good chance that he probably would still end up walking away with this movie or with this award. It's funny because it's like I was listening to another podcast how the best picture pool was expanded to 10 because of the controversy around The Dark Knight not being included back
Yeah.
in 2008. And now kind of full circle, here's you know, it's a pool of 10, and Christopher Nolan is probably going to end up taking Best Picture and Best Director. So it's just kind of, you know, just kind of interesting to watch how things kind of turn. So yeah, I think Christopher Nolan is pretty much a solid bet in this category. We'll keep the controversy going though, because why not? We'll start off rough and then we'll get to kind of smoother sailing. And we'll move to Best Actress. The category of Best Actress, Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. A pretty solid category. With a lot of, I feel like there are a lot of people who were omitted from this category who had just as good of a shot. But much like Best Director, we are talking about Margot Robbie, who was left off for her performance in Barbie, which, you know, the Academy sometimes has a challenge with, you know, really comedic performances. Now I say that, and then you look in Best Supporting Actor, and what Ryan Gosling is doing might be one of the funniest performances of the year. So it's kind of like, well, what are they doing? Did they not watch the movie that they are nominating here to kind of understand how that goes? But yeah, I think that's the big one that people are talking about. But it is also a really solid category. Jess, what do you think about Best Actress? Where are you falling in this category, and how do you feel about Margot Robbie's omission?
Well, I think the other elephant in the room is the addition of Annette Bening, that kind of seemed to
Mm-hmm.
come out of nowhere just based on predictions and what people are sort of speculating. But it's kind of like what I was saying earlier about Christopher Nolan. The Academy really likes to celebrate a back catalog or sort of like give a redemption to veteran actors like her. And I mean, she has a great filmography. I mean, while we're piling on the controversy, American Beauty, I won't name everybody in the cast, but I love that movie.
Right.
And she was wonderful in that. And I believe she was nominated for that movie too. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like the Academy likes to award people for those reasons. I haven't seen Naiad, so I really can't say any more on that.
Sure.
As far as who I think will win, based just on the Golden Globes and some of the other nominations that have come out, like BAFTAs and such, I think it's going to be between Lily and Emma. But personally, and I haven't seen Poor Things yet because once again, South Dakota's lame. But can you tell I'm bitter? Anyway, but I think that Lily Gladstone just blew me away in that movie.
Sure.
She just sort of ran the gamut of like all these different emotions somebody in that situation could go through. But yeah, like with director, I think this is an extremely stacked five, and Annette Bening withstanding, I don't know who else could have been in there, except for Fantasia. I was a little bummed not to see her in there just because I thought she was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm an American Idol fan, so like, you know.
Another American, it would be nice to have another American Idol winner or contestant
That's right.
take an Oscar.
Clay Aiken Oscar 2025.
That's right. Let's campaign now. Nick, what are your thoughts on the Best Actress category? Where are you standing on this?
Yeah, I mean, not to pile on to poor Annette Bening, but it's obviously her as the biggest question mark in this category. And just to play devil's advocate a little bit and to throw in a little bit of spice, and I don't want to take your thunder here because I do love this movie here as well, but I think Greta Lee in Past Lives deserves a little bit more credit. I just recently watched this actually in preparation for this pod. And the overall takeaway I sent to Jess was her facial expressions were unbelievable in Past Lives. I thought that she almost had a subset to her character by just the look on her face. And so I think that is an accomplishment in of itself. And as much as I love Margot Robbie and as much as I loved her in Barbie, and she deserves to be on this list too, I think Greta Lee equally deserves a nomination because I thought
I
she was
agree.
phenomenal in Past Lives.
She's also great in The Morning Show. Like, she's a
Yes, she
very
is.
talented
So
actress.
talented. Yes. But like you said, but I think it's down to Lily and Emma, but I'm a big Carey Mulligan stan as well. Promising Young Woman, one of my favorite movies in the last 10 years. And so I love getting, every time she gets nominated, I love that for her. But yeah, and Sandra, we talked about Naomi Fall just previously. I thought she was phenomenal as that kind of deadpan. Is she a stone cold killer? Is she not? You can't tell, but just another facial expression acting performance in that as well. But yeah, I think Lily, like Jess said, covered every emotion on the spectrum, grief, anger, despair, all that stuff. And I thought that she was the rock of that movie, honestly. That's not a pro wrestling reference. I want that on the record. The literal rock. So I think she was the rock of that movie. So I would love to see her win, and I would love that moment to happen. But it's hard to rule out Emma Stone with how much, momentum she's gotten in the past couple months too. So
So of the movies that are nominated here, the big nomination across the board that I have not seen yet is Killers of the Flower Moon. It will it yeah, so it will be playing at the State here in a couple of weeks. And I already have a ticket, so I will be there to finally see this movie. And I fully believe the hype as to how incredible her performance is. Just watching her in the trailers, the power that she has in her gaze is just it has me like totally caught. Like I'm really excited to see this movie. But I will say, I will say that I absolutely loved Emma Stone in Poor Things, and that's not like not a shock coming from me at all. As much as I love Emma Stone, but I just think it's her growth, like watching her like grow as a character throughout the movie is just fascinating. How she transforms from like the mind of a child into where she ends up, and it's just a fully fleshed out, again, no pun there, because she's very, very, very naked through a lot of the movie.
Yeah,
But
I heard there's a lot of butts
it's,
and frontals and
yeah, it is something else. Just it's wild. But she is just like wholly committed to the movie in every sense of the way, sense of the word. And it's just, I think it's a thrilling performance. For the two left out. Jess, you said Fantasia Barrino, and I'm completely with you on that, because I loved her in The Color Purple, and Greta Lee in Past Lives, also just remarkable. That movie has not left my mind since I saw it earlier in the year, and I just can't shake it. I can't shake how that movie makes me feel, and her performance is a huge reason why. Especially the ending of that movie. I think the ending of Past Lives is just a home run. And it's very, it's funny because it's like it still feels like it's very subtle. It's the emotional release of the movie, but it still feels very subtle. And I'm just like, I don't know, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
And
And I
honestly,
love it.
to kind of play the flip side of that, the other side of the coin, is the first scene in Past Lives is one of my favorite openers of a movie this year. I love that scene where they're at the bar, and it's a third person view almost of like, being outside the fourth wall of, okay, what are they about? Who are they about? And Jess and I agree on this. We wish that the movie would have taken that tone a little bit further as we got into the movie, and that's where it keeps it from the upper echelon in 2020. Just in our eyes, but that is it. That's a very, very solid movie across the board.
Agreed.
Good, but good category here. It's a good category. The Annette Bening of it all aside, it's still a solid category. Let's go on to best actor. We'll stay in the leading performances here before we dive into supporting. So best actor nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Nick, what do you think? What are your thoughts on best actor? I have a hard time for this one personally, because I feel like it's probably down to the Golden Globe winners. Like I feel like they are probably battling it out. But I haven't seen American Fiction yet, and all I hear about that one is this, just that Jeffrey Wright is absolutely phenomenal. So I'm kind of curious, what are your thoughts on this category, and how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I would be very, very shocked if it's anybody outside of Giamatti and Cillian Murphy. I would be absolutely stunned if that's just like director, where it seems like it's a two horse race at this point. But I have to take this platform and this time to give some flowers to Colman Domingo, who has been one of my favorite actors. Gosh, Jess, I don't even know how many years I've loved Colman Domingo,
Yeah,
and
you knew who he was before I did.
he is. I kind of just pegged him as like, oh, that guy's got something, a long time ago, not to like toot my own horn or anything, but I'm just so proud that he is here and showing the world his talent and getting some recognition. And I hope he brings that to his agent and books more roles like this down in the future, because he is a phenomenal talent, and I just wish the absolute best for him. Otherwise, like I said earlier, Bradley Cooper deserves kind of a participation award, like he's playing Pee Wee's Soccer, because the effort he put into Maestro is very respectable, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And so I think Cillian Murphy wins this. I just want to say that. I think he has kind of the backlog of this as well, where I think they're going to give him a lot of credit for being, Christopher Nolan's guy, and this is Christopher Nolan's night. Here's your your go-to actor, here's the best actor award. But just as a guy who grew up with Big Fat Liar, Paul Giamatti, just that would be so amazing to see the blue man up there. But no, he in The Holdover is just so warm and welcoming, and his character progression is my favorite character progression I've seen in movies this year. I think in TV it's the cousin and bear, but that's a side conversation. But his arc throughout that movie is phenomenal, and just seeing how he sees the world in the start of the movie and then afterwards is, I love his performance in that as well. I hope, I want him to win the award, but you know, it's kind of a heart versus brain subject going on right now.
I'll offer my thoughts after Jess. Jess, how do you feel about Best Actor? How is this looking for you?
I mean, this is another absolutely stacked category. And for me personally, I'm a big fan of all of these actors. Like, I honestly wouldn't be mad if any of them won. I mean, I might as well just get this out of the way. I loved Maestro. I can't help it. It was everything that I love in movies. And it just like it got me. I loved it. And you know, I have respect for Bradley Cooper too since Star is Born, because that's one of my all-time favorite movies. I've probably seen it like 20 times. But to echo what Nick said, I think Cillian Murphy's probably going to win, and I hope he does because he was phenomenal. I would be fine with Giamatti too, because again, I think he's deserving of it for The Holdovers and because of his back catalog of work. And yeah, Colman Domingo, I love him. Jeffrey Wright, I was a huge Westworld season one fan. So, like, seeing him there for the first time and now, like, seeing him getting roles like this is very exciting. So, yeah, I'm very happy with this category.
It's kind of wild to me because it's like I look at this listing, and aside from Colman Domingo, for me, I think I probably saw Colman Domingo in something prior to Euphoria, but I feel like he just had this gravitas like right off the bat, and because he was so good in Euphoria, I was just kind of like, this guy's probably like a big deal, and I just have missed everything. But when I think of Bradley Cooper, I think of the first place I saw him, which is Alias. When I think of Paul Giamatti, I think of the Howard Stern Private Parts movie. When I
Oh,
think of
yes, in.
Cillian Murphy, I think of 28 Days Later. And then when I think of Jeffrey Wright, I think of the Samuel L. Jackson Shaft movie because he plays the
Wow.
villain in Shaft. And it's like these are people that it's like they started off doing these kind of like, I don't know, kind of fun genre or bizarre roles, and they've kind of evolved into these like, you know, top of the game. I think all of these performances. I have not seen Rustin yet. It's probably the next one I will check off my list. But these guys are just great. I do have a big affinity for Paul Giamatti winning. I would just love to see that. But I would not be disappointed or surprised if Cillian Murphy takes it. I'm thinking he probably will. But just know that there will be a very happy fat dude if Paul Giamatti wins that award, because I just think he's great. When you said, Jess, that Maestro was your, you know, that you were a big fan of that movie, I was like, oh, I'm glad that I have not said anything
I know. Listen, the cheese stands alone on this. I get it.
that
There's,
just
it's just like all the other shitty musicals that I love, and everybody else is like, what is your deal? Like, I get it. I'm not going to defend it. All I know is that I am a sap for that kind of stuff and I fell into it. So that's all I'm going to
Listen,
say.
I will go to bat with you for The Color Purple every day of the week. That movie is freaking phenomenal.
Holman Domingo could have gotten nominated there too.
He could have. But yeah, Maestro the cheese stands alone.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it.
You know what's interesting about that too? Two things, by the way. I remembered the movie that I remembered Colman Domingo from the first time. It was If Beale Street Could Talk, which is one of the best movies of that year, which is 6 years ago now. Oh my God, 28, 6 years ago. But if you haven't seen that movie, check it out. It's a lovely, beautiful movie, and he's wonderful in it. And then second of all, I've noticed on, this sounds kind of kind of like douchey, but on film Twitter anyway, is there are subset of fan groups that I've seen form this year that I really haven't seen form in a long time. Where what I mean by that is there is a hive of people that absolutely love Barbie, obviously. There's people that give Oppenheimer its rightful flowers. But then there's these other like groups of people that love Past Lives, that love Poor Things. And I really do find that to be the cool side of film Twitter, disguised by this unbearable discourse around Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie in the past week. It's really cool seeing these people be passionate about these little films that could, like Past Lives and Poor Things and The Holdovers and stuff like that. So that's really cool to see that come to light. And you can kind of see it in every category of who people are rooting for in the long run, too.
Yeah, I think it's nice too because, and I'm probably wrong. I'm probably just kind of biased on this, but I feel like those supporters are like less angry and negative. Like I feel like as much as
They've
I
seen
love,
award shows before.
yeah, it's just kind of like this is how it goes. Listen, it sucks that this movie that you champion didn't make it this far or didn't get this nomination. But, I'm going to celebrate that, hey, this movie I like did, and kind of let that be, the end of it. And it's like, oh, just be a grown up. It's
The
so
vibes are
nice.
impeccable. The vibes are impeccable with those because you're just like, hey, you can love your movie. I'm just gonna love mine, man. And it's just like that cool release attitude that I love. And so I, give credit to those people that stand on the table and pound their fists for The Holdovers or Past Lives or whatever it may be, because that's cool to see you passionate about that.
I would like to be clear that I am not a Maestro stan. It's more
Oh,
of just like a guilty pleasure, I suppose,
sure.
but just I am what I am.
Okay, Popeye.
Listen, not too guilty. The movie did okay. It racked up a bunch of nominees, so I think other people like it too, but maybe I'm the cheese standing alone. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't think so.
All right, let's dive into supporting actor next. So supporting actor is Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Jess, how do you feel about supporting actor? What looks good in this category? How do you think it's going to go? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to like sound like a broken record, but I do feel the same way I do about lead actor in that I love all of these actors a lot. Getting that out of the way, I think it's going to be Robert Downey Jr. just because he's been winning a lot of the other awards. And even though he's had sort of a redemption with the Iron Man movies, I feel like this is a further tier of his redemption in that he's stepping away from the superhero genre and people are starting to remember like, oh yeah, like he's a freaking incredible actor. And again, has a back catalog, Chaplin, Soap Dish, like he has all of these fantastic movies from the 90s and so on that he's done that and I think that's why people, when they saw him in Oppenheimer, were kind of blown away. It's like a reminder, like he deserves to get this award. But, again, I love Sterling K. Brown. I love Robert De Niro. He was bone chilling in this movie, like just fucking evil.
Nice.
Yeah, just as a little teaser for you. And Mark Ruffalo, I love him. I'm excited to see his butt sometime when I see the movie. But again, that was just, like a maestro comment there. But and I'm just going to touch briefly on Ryan Gosling. I know that he, again, is kind of at the center of some of this controversy, but I remember the first time I saw Barbie in the theater that I kind of had that feeling that this was going to be a major deal once people started seeing him in this movie because he stole the show. And we all know, and Nick will probably talk about this a little bit, but like we know that Ryan Gosling's a talented guy and that he's funny. Nice guys. That was for you, Nick.
Thank you.
But yeah, like without any other thing surrounding this comment, I think that he deserves to be in here. And like, honestly, people thought he was going to be a front runner for a while between him and RDJ just because it was such a big deal how he was in that movie. Like, but I know that the internet probably kind of ruined those chances now. So, anyway, that's all I'll say.
Yeah,
Oh, man.
big shout out to Soap Dish there too. I caught that, and that was that's a wonderful movie that I watched daily on HBO. So I feel the Soap Dish love. Nick, what are your thoughts on this category?
It is so hard for me not to put on the tinfoil hat here. It is so difficult for me because after reading everything that has come out after the nominations were announced, they wouldn't do it, would they? They wouldn't give this to Gosling instead of Downey as a well, we're
I
sorry.
did read that the Academy voters don't like being told what to do by the public, so they could do it just to pull like a, because they kind of did that with Jamie Lee Curtis last year.
Yeah.
Oh
And they
yeah.
could oopsie, here we're sorry. Here's your guy. And that would maybe piss everybody off way worse. So maybe they don't do that. And I hope they don't do that. But in my opinion, it's Downey. He is past, everybody that is hardcore into award season, has a tracker of, okay, you hit BAFTAs, you hit the Globes, you hit SAG, you're on the way towards an Oscar. And so far, and we're only in January 24th, Downey has hit every single marker of winning this Oscar, and I think he's going to walk away with it. But I just wanted to open up the door for discussion of, would they really do it? Are they thinking about it, of just trying to cover their butts a little bit? I don't know if they would, but it's something to chew on.
I won't put on the tinfoil hat and say that it'll happen. I'm sure I just feel like they're still gonna go with Robert Downey Jr. It's just it's a like recognition of his career. It's a recognition of how he's overcome, his own kind of demons to still remain this incredibly talented force. But yeah, I right off the bat, right upon the release of Barbie. People were talking about, oh man, have you seen Ryan Gosling in this movie? He's so funny. Like he would be, he was kind of the standout. And so it's not, it's, I'm not at all surprised that he was nominated for this movie because I feel like it was almost kind of assumed right from the release of this movie that that was what was going to happen. So it doesn't shock me. And I hate that it has kind of turned into, of course, they're going to nominate Ken. Of course, they're just going to nominate the man for the movie. It's more than that. I think this is a really good performance. And I think he is really having a good time with it and making fun of himself. Or making, kind of poking fun at everything. And I think he does such a really good job of it. And I also loved Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I always think of Mark Ruffalo as such like a nice, sweet guy. Like that's just the vibe that I get from him, is that he's this very like, guy that you want to be buddies with. In Poor Things, he is a cad, like just a sleazy. It's great. It is a lot of fun to watch. So I am so happy that he ended up with the nomination in this category just because he is just great. But yeah, Robert Downey Jr., I think this is his. I think if I have any doubts on the best actor category, I have no doubts on this one that it's going to swing the way of Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
Yeah, we'll talk. Oh, go ahead.
maybe it's just because I dressed up as Ken for Halloween. So I want that on the record that I might be a little biased. So so with the tinfoil hat argument, take it with a grain of salt that I did dress up as Ken.
So that's, I feel like that was a very popular choice.
Yeah, I was very basic. I'll admit it. I was basic.
We'll dive into best supporting actress. This is one of the categories that I've actually already seen all of the nominees. Holler.
There you go.
Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Nick, how are you feeling on this category?
So this is my Jamie Lee Curtis situation as in last
Mm.
I think America Ferrera is the fourth at best most memorable character in this movie. I don't think that she's anywhere close to being on this list. That's my hottest take. I just don't understand it. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes from as well. And I just think it boils down to there's a lot more competition in best actress and best director rather than this. And that's not to say that these women in this category are not deserving at all. And I think Devine is going to win it, and I think she deserves it as well. But Daniel Brooks is a phenomenal talent. Jodie Foster, obviously, what more could be said about her? And Emily Blunt was kind of that courtroom scene where that deliberation where she goes with Jason Clarke is very, very catchy and very, very gravitas towards the whole movie. So I think that she deserves her flowers for that as well. But I think it is Devine, and I just needed to get my America Ferrera take in there because I just don't understand it. And I'm open for discussion. You can make me understand all you want, and I'm open to learning, but I just right now I just don't get it.
Jess, do you have a counterpoint to
Not really. I pretty much
that?
agree. I think I would say that for me, this is the most comfortable category for me to bet on because I think it's a lock that it's going to be divine. If it were me picking personally, I would obviously go with Danielle Brooks just because I'm a big fan of her ever since Orange is the New Black. But in this movie, like, she has by far the best part in this movie. And that's saying something because I was just praising Fantasia up and down, but I mean, it's like everybody has said, her part in The Color Purple is it makes you want to stand up and cheer. Like, you just love her in this movie. And as far as see, and I think it'd be kind of funny if they went, you know what? Fuck all this. Let's give it to Jodie Foster. Like, the internet ruined it. Give it to Jodie Foster. And again, I haven't seen Iyad. I'm sure she's great. I'm sure I'll watch it. I just have no other opinion on it. And yeah, I'm a little confused about the America Ferrera thing too. That's where I get a little tinfoil hatty. Where people have proposed their theories online, and it is what it is. I like her a lot as an actress, so like I'm excited to see what dress she wears, and I'll just leave it at that.
Nick, have you seen Naiad?
No, not yet. It's it, like you
Okay.
said, I think Jess said it's next on my list, so
Okay.
that it's coming up.
It's listen, it's fine. Like, it's a fine movie. And I think the two best elements of it are the two that were nominated for Oscars. Annette Bening is, of course, very good in it. Jodie Foster is very good in it. Jodie Foster is actually, I would say, the best part of Naiad because she's playing a very Jodie Foster-ish type person where she's just kind of cocksure, witty, like, just, I don't know, she's just a lot of fun. And I think she's great in the movie. But compared to the other nominees, she just I don't think she stands a chance of winning. Unless, like you said, Jess, unless they're just like, you know what? No, fuck it. We're gonna just give them give Jodie Foster the award. But yeah, I think Divine Joy Randolph takes this award for sure. I wonder if with America Ferrera, if it is the strength of that monologue, the near the end of the movie, where just people were so enamored with that, that is kind of why that's the, that she ended up getting the nomination. I think if you were to give a supporting actress nomination in Barbie, for me it would be Kate McKinnon. Like, I think
Ooh.
that Weird Barbie
Ooh.
is just like a hoot. But that's my thought on there, because that's a very, funny, oddball performance. But I don't know. It's
Comment, and I'm going to give the caveat once again that I absolutely loved Barbie and I've seen it probably six times. But
yeah.
every time that America Ferrera speech comes on Barbie, I just always think of that Wayne's World clip where he splashes the water on his face and it says Oscar, and he's like, I'm just a man. Like, that's all I think of. And like, that's like I said, where I get a little tinfoil hatty, where I'm like, I think maybe the Academy like is like, yes, that is the Oscar clip. We should nominate her. I don't know. It's just a little, but anyway, yeah.
I have an alternate for you guys to think about for a second.
Okay.
How about some love? I know this movie is what it is, and I'm a shoe nerd, so I have to put it in here. But Viola Davis and
Well,
Air.
Davis. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that
I haven't seen it yet.
we know your affiliation or deaffiliation with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, so that's fine. But I think that she was the takeaway from that movie for me, because that movie came out in what, March of last year? So it's been a minute since that movie has come out. And when I think of that movie, I think about her commanding scenes with two powerhouses, with Affleck and Damon. And so I thought that she could have been here instead of America Ferrera. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that she didn't end up making the cut. I'm honestly a little surprised that Air as a whole was kind of
Yeah.
shut out, because it was just that was a movie that had a lot of buzz early on in the year. And I think it's an entertaining movie, but I think just more things came out by the end of the year and it just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
It was a March release, so it just kind of let the air out of the balloon as more things came out. And so I think that just byproduct of it releasing so early in the year, it just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
I agree. I agree. Let's talk about the screenplay nominations here. We'll do adapted first and then original, and just kind of briefly touch on those. The movies nominated for best adapted screenplay are American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Nick, what are your thoughts on these screenplays for best adapted? I know there's a lot of controversy around the whole Barbie of it all and where it got, where it was deemed eligible. But I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on this category.
So this is the one where I think that they'll give, not, this is a bad word to use for this, but it's almost like a pity Oscar, I think, where I'm interested to see what Jessica thinks too of if this is where Greta Gerwig wins for Barbie. But I also just have a weird feeling that they're not going to shut out a movie that has put in the work like American Fiction or Poor Things or Zone of Interest. I feel like they want to, divvy out the Oscars a little bit and not give 13 of them to Oppenheimer throughout the night. So this is where I feel like Nolan's not going to win. It might be Greta Gerwig, but something in my gut, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but I just feel like American Fiction might get the win here. And I don't know why, but it just feels like it's setting up for, a nice little moment here with American Fiction, showing that, okay, this movie's not going to win anything else tonight, but check it out. It's very clever. It's very entertaining. It's right here. And so I think that this is where a situation arises where one of these movies that's not a big player in Best Picture is gonna win.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction on there, because I think there's a chance that that's the kind of movie that takes this category. Jess, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm kind of in the same boat as Nick here. I would love to see Barbie win this, and I think that if the dust settles on all of the conversation around Barbie and the Oscars, that it could and it should deserves it. I will also say that I was a little surprised that Killers of the Flower Moon didn't get nominated in this category, because I haven't read the book, but I've heard that it does a pretty good job of adapting the source material. So I was a little surprised not to see that on adapted screenplay. But yeah, I really don't have much else I can say, because I've only seen Barbie and Oppenheimer so far on this list. But I think Nick made an interesting comment as far as divvying out the awards, and I could see that happening too.
I think, I think for me, I think this is Barbie is going to win this one, because this might be it'll probably get production design, but this will be kind of the one to say, hey, listen, we ended up giving Greta Gerwig an award, so it's okay. It's okay that we didn't nominate her in Best Director, because she gets a screenplay award. But Screenplay sometimes is the one where they can give that outside the box movie an award. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see something like American Fiction kind of sweep in and take it. I think Poor Things is another really good one to have in this category. It's a very interesting script, a very the dialogue is very witty. But I think, I think you'll find that just something else is going to end up taking that prize, and I think this will be where they reward Barbie, unless they decide to go completely outside the box and go with American Fiction. Original screenplay, the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives. Jess, where are you at on this category?
Well, this one's kind of tough for me. I do find it interesting that this is the only nomination for May December. Not that I think it deserves more, but I just think that there was a lot of hype around it. And I figured that maybe one of the actors in the movie would have at least gotten a nomination. But that being said, I don't think it's going to win this category. If I were to go with my gut, I feel like this could be The Holdovers. Or, I mean, Anatomy of a Fall could be an upset here too, or even Past Lives, but I don't know. My gut's telling me that, this would be a comfy award for a comfy movie.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Nick, are you kind of on the same boat on this one?
So to take a different approach to this category, if there was a movie that I did not want to see win an Oscar, it is May December. I hated May December. There is a scene in that movie, and this is no fault of the screenplay at all, but there is a scene in that movie where Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman both stare at the mirror. And what the music that proceeds to play is straight out of Days of Our Lives from 1999. And I almost paused the movie, walked up, and walked out of my own apartment because I was so taken out of the movie. I do not like that movie, but that's just besides the point. But I think kind of similar to what Jess said of a comfy movie winning this, I think it's either The Holdovers or Past Lives. I would like to see Celine Song get a little bit of love for the work that she did in this movie too, just because I think that Past Lives dialogue is very rooted in modern day rather than Holdovers or anything like that. And it's kind of tiptoeing a challenging line of, explicitly displaying this complicated relationship in modern times with modern lingo, and then layering in a foreign language on top of that, which is very, very commendable. And so that's why I kind of want Past Lives to win this. But like Jess said, if it's anything that's warm and fuzzy here, totally understand.
I love Past Lives, and that would be my pick. In a perfect world, Past Lives would end up taking it from me, but I wouldn't be surprised or disappointed if The Holdovers takes it. It's just, people love an Alexander Payne script, and I think this is, and I don't even actually know if he, yeah, I think he wrote this one. But his movies usually tend to do well as far as the screenplays are concerned, and I think this is no exception to that. It's just a really well-developed script with a lot of fun repartee between the characters, so I'm not disappointed if The Holdovers wins. I'm personally a little stunned that Maestro got an original screenplay nomination for this, but that's just me. But it is what it is. It is what it is. So,
I'm actually like pretty surprised that Eric Roth, who's like Scorsese's guy now, didn't get one for Killers, like Jess said earlier. And I got in a wormhole, and I spent way too much time in Eric Roth's IMDb page today, so I need to explain what I found today. His filmography is insane. It has Dune, A Star Is Born. It has The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Munich, which is an awesome underrated movie, has its age. And he also has Forrest Gump in his filmography. So that's a pretty impressive screenplay to keep in your back pocket. So I was surprised that they didn't give him a little bit of a rub here as well, but and adapted, but it is what it is.
It's again, it's another thing of like, it's a very stacked year. And it's kind of surprising to see things that get left off, but then, maestro. And for you guys, May, December, getting that.
Somebody
So.
just really liked hearing who left Snoopy in the vestibule.
Nope.
Do
Absolutely.
you think we're gonna have enough hot dogs? That was my May December line. Just great. Let's talk about best original song because Jess, I know that you are a sucker for the music. So I kind of want to dive into that. The nominees for best original song are The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Wazahazi from a song or A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. Jess, how do you feel about these songs, these song nominations? And do you have a good reason as to why, despite the movie being very, very charming, do you have a good reason as to why The Fire Inside was nominated for Best Original Song?
Diane Warren. At
Yeah.
this point, she could fart on a piece of sheet music and they'd be like, nominated. And like, listen, I'm a child of the 90s. Like, I can get down. If I could sing right now, I would bust out one of her 90s tunes. Like, she has a back catalog, like that's the word of the day. But at this point, she's nominated every freaking year, and it does not matter what it's for. I'm sorry. Before I get into the other nominees, I just want to make another like kind of nerd comment in that I've been watching a lot of older Oscar broadcasts to get ready for the Oscars because I'm a spinster and this is just what I do with my time. And they used to split the original song categories into like they do with the Golden Globes, drama and comedy musical. And so I'm a little surprised, and I guess I didn't dig it deep enough into the history to figure out why they stopped doing that. Because, especially with all of the controversy of Barbie being nominated, is like this could sort of be a solution to some of that discourse. And it would also kind of, I mean, it would give them probably two chances at the Oscar, frankly. Well, I guess not because it would be comedy, but anyway, that being said, I haven't seen American Symphony. I don't know that song. I was a little surprised, but happily surprised to see Killers of the Flower Moon get on here. I don't really, off the top of my head, know what other songs I would put on here. I know I'm a big Disney person, but I was very let down by Wish. Especially, I mean, I was so hyped to see Chris Pine do a villain song, and I was like, here we go, Disney's back. No, I it, no. It made me very sad. But so I love the Barbie soundtrack, just like everything else Barbie that I've already rattled off. I'm really excited to see Ryan Gosling hopefully perform I'm Just Ken, because as I was telling Nick, I think it could have a lot of like cameo potential to have other like Ken celebrities show up and sing next to him. And because of the moment in the film that it was used for, I think Billie Eilish probably is going to win this just because it's a beautiful song. And like I said, it celebrates the feeling of humanity in like a very hauntingly beautiful way. And think what you will about Billie Eilish. I think it's a great song, and that's probably my favorite one out of here. Okay, that was a lot. Sorry.
No, that was good. That was good. Nick, what are your thoughts on this category?
I mean, I could concede some of my time to the music nerd of the family. That's totally fine. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody just wants to see the I'm Just Ken performance just to see. And I told Jess this when nominations were announced. It'll be interesting to see if Mark Ronson puts any creative spins onto it because he's that dude in terms of producing music. So, and that'll be very interesting. Also,
Meryl Streep is his mother-in-law, by the way.
oh, I didn't
Yeah.
know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's literally what I've been.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Anyway, John Batiste has had maybe one of the crazier 3-year stretches in music in terms of like nominations, because I believe he won the Grammy for Album of the Year, what, 2 years ago, and is nominated again this year.
Did he
So
win for Soul?
yeah,
he,
yep. He
yeah.
and Trent Reznor both won, and Atticus Ross, I think, as well.
Yeah. And so he has put in some absolute great work here, and all credit to him. He's a talented mofo, so I'd love to see that. But like Jess just said, I think this is Billie Eilish's award, and Phineas, we'll give Phineas the credit too as the producer too. And I think that that's all pointing all roads. If I would honestly, I'm a gambling man. That's no secret to anybody here. But if I was to gamble on only one category, it would be What Was I Made For and Billie Eilish. I think that is a slam dunk win. Slam dunk win.
But I mean, we keep talking about the troll moves. What if they're like, can we just get rid of Diane Warren and give her the friggin' Cheeto Oscar?
Yeah, and then you're gonna get the
I
social media
hope
of
not. Oh,
the Cheeto Oscar, and that's the
man. All right, I got a couple points. I got a couple points. Okay. First thing. Would this make if she wins, does this make Billie Eilish a two-time Oscar winner? Did she win for the James Bond song?
Yes, she did. Yep. And do you know who
Man.
she beat? Diane Warren.
Man, Diane Warren is gonna hate
I'm
Billie
really high
Eilish
on
for real.
Oscar, sorry.
With that song, the fire inside, I've come to find, especially more over recent years, that I get really upset when it is just a song playing over the end credits, and that's what wins, gets nominated for the best original song. And that's what The Fire Inside is. It's the song that plays over the beginning of the end credits. And it's just kind of like, this is it. This is the song that got nominated.
Remember when the
And
end credits in the 90s were always the pop version of a song that was already
yeah.
the movie?
Right. It was great. It was so much fun. Like, especially the Disney stuff. Like, I remember cleaning the theaters to Hercules, and it was Michael Bolton singing The Distance. That was so much fun.
God, it's
Like,
gonna make me cry. Okay, go on.
I loved it. My last little thought here then is there is a song that was I feel should have made the cut, and that would have given this movie that I love very deeply one Academy Award nomination, and I think that Live This Way Forever from the Iron Claw should have been
Oh,
nominated for Best Original Song.
I love that.
that's a good one.
Such a good song. It actually appears in the movie, and then they do a like a studio version at the end credits as well.
Oh, good call.
Really missed. They just missed it on that one. Yeah, I think this is a chance to kind of talk about the Iron Claw a little bit too. I think that movie is fantastic for a movie that focuses on family and professional wrestling, and it is one that I am really bummed that it didn't get any kind of recognition in the nomination pool.
My
I
only
think
hope
it's
is maybe people will have more faith in Zefron from now on,
yeah.
and
Yep.
he'll get to stretch his legs and more stuff because I've been a fan of his for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
He kicked the shit out of that movie. He I
Oh,
thought
yeah.
he, like a lot of other performances on this list, described every emotion that one feels over lifespan. And like, just it was fun going to that movie with Jessica, to be honest with you,
He was
because
my little like pop-up video for
yeah, it was so
it.
interesting because I literally texted, and this is a spoiler alert to everybody that's watching or listening, is I basically texted a friend of mine and I said, "Wow, I can't wait to watch all these boys die." And it was fun watching Jessica's reaction to everything go through that. And then paired with that of Zac Efron's wonderful response in his acting of these traumatic events, just horrible luck, this curse being instilled upon his family and the people that he cares about most in the world being taken from him. I thought he did a phenomenal job because that's a
And it
heavy
was so
role.
subtle.
Yeah, it's a heavy role, man. It's a really heavy role to take on. And he committed his, like, Like he is shredded
That
up.
last scene of
Fine.
him where he was like, I'm not a brother anymore. Good God.
That movie deserves a lot more credit than it got in these nominations, and I hope that it spans the test of time. And as you know, as I said, big nerd in pro wrestling, so like the territories and stuff like that, I was like just turning to Jessica and saying, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin went there when he was 5 years old, like stupid stuff like that. So love that. I love that about it.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool to watch the like that they use the actual like old school text that you would watch on like ESPN or whatever
Yes.
as they were like announcing those matches. I was like, oh, this is just so great. And it's like, you know, these little elements of it are so great and so exciting. And then you're watching the story that, you know, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, you know this whole thing is going to be heartbreaking. And so it's like you kind of watch it through that lens. And then there are people who don't know what the story is going to entail, and then you know they react to it, and it's like just this gut punch for everybody. I love this heartbreaking movie. It's the most I've seen a movie in the movie theater in a very long time. I saw it 3 times and would not hate to see it again. So
See, that's
that'll
where
probably
I'm
just
like,
wait.
I don't know if I want to see it again because it's so heavy. It's just so difficult to watch. So that's where I'm like, maybe give me like a year and then I'll revisit again.
I'll probably wait just to pick it up and buy it instead. That's probably a better solution.
Don't you
Those are
sometimes
all.
have those movies that you put on where you're like, I'm in a bad mood and I'm just gonna dive into it? It could be good for that.
That might be my go-to cry movie from now on, and I'm okay with that. The last category that I will make sure that we cover is just because I know we're all animation fans, and that is Best Animated Feature, which this year I'm a little I'm I don't know if I'm surprised or disappointed. I don't really know exactly how I'm feeling. But Best Animated Feature, the nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I forgot where we left off, so Jess, I'll just start with you. As a Disney fan, are you disappointed to see Wish left off this list? And what are your thoughts on Elemental making the cut?
I'm just so frustrated with the state of Disney right now that like the grumpy part of my brain is kind of like, this is what you deserve. Like, you don't deserve to be on here because that movie was such a letdown. Because I love the people in it, and it was the hunt. I could go on, but it was just such a letdown. But anyway, I hate to admit this, but I've only seen one of these movies, and that's Spider-Man. So I'm gonna say that I hope that that one wins. I don't know that it will, but it could be another situation like we've talked about where this is the only place it's nominated. Some people maybe thought it would have gotten Score, which I think we might get to here, but it didn't. But I love those movies. I mean, if anybody knows me, they know I'm a little bit of a freak about Spider-Man. So anything Spider-Man, I'm pretty much on board for, except for Madame Web. But I mean, I think if Boy and the Heron wins, which it sounds like it could, that's fine, just because another person I really love is Robert Pattinson, and I saw the clips of him as the bird, and he is giving. So, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
Nice. Nick, any thoughts on the animated feature category?
Full transparency, I've never really dipped my toe into the anime waters at all in my life. Not to say that I won't ever or anything like that. I have friends that do. And what they do say, and like the key terms and takeaways that I have, it is Miyazaki is people love him. And so that's why I think the Boy and the Heron is going to win. And I think that his time to shine here and kind of give a little bit of a spotlight to ever-growing anime fan base throughout the world, I think now is the time to do it because state of and Jess just touched on it. The state of Disney is rough, and how far the mighty have fallen from Soul, which was just a couple years ago, and Soul being one of my favorite animated movies I've ever seen to this day. And now we're here with Elemental, which is a popcorn movie that I saw with my, at the time, 4-year-old nephew. So it's an interesting thing where the quality is diminished so much that it's allowing these other, subset of genres like anime to come to the fold and show that here's another way that we're, storytelling with animation that you should check out. And so that's why I'm all for The Boy and the Heron winning, is just kind of giving people a greater infiltration to this new genre of animated movie, in my opinion,
That was a much
anyway.
nicer way
Yeah. Thank
to
you.
Very, very courteous, very polite.
Anyway.
I have a feeling that the Boy and the Heron is going to win this one. I really enjoyed Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse quite a bit. Again, something that will end up being on my top 10 list of the year. I had another animated movie that, as I look at my top 10 list right now, is. I think I'm putting it in my tech. Whoa, I shouldn't say that. I'm putting it on my top 10 list. And that did not make the cut. And that was another anime film called The First Slam Dunk.
Yeah.
It is a movie about basketball and about grief. And it was wonderful, just
Huh.
wonderful. And did not get any award season recognition. But I just thought it was great, and I think it's going to be coming out on video and streaming like in next month. So definitely worth the watch. And Nimona on Netflix, very, very good movie. So it's kind of exciting to see that. I have not heard incredibly exciting things about Elemental, and Robot Dreams looks charming. It must be pretty enjoyable to have made the cut here, but it's not one that I've seen, so I don't know anything about it. But yeah, I'm not surprised if the Boy and the Heron wins this one.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you each a chance to kind of, if you want to talk about another category or any other nominees kind of in general. I've kind of covered the ones that I think I want to make sure we talk about, but for you guys, is there something else that you're super passionate? Jess, I'll start with you. Is there another category or just any other like spread of nominees that you want to make sure that you call the people's attention?
I guess the only one that's sort of left for me is the original score. I think the big news item with this category is that John Williams is nominated. I'm not going to say he's the Diane Warren of this category, but
He
he
is.
kind of
He is. Yeah, he is.
is. because I almost drank water out of my Indiana Jones cup for this because, well, they did it. It's an Oscar-nominated movie, you sons of bitches. But as far as what I think will win, I think it's going to be another Oppenheimer win. So that's where I'm at with that.
Before I went to bed on Oscar nomination Eve, somebody had posted that wouldn't it be something if somehow they nominated Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny? And I was like, no way. There's no way. Like, come on. That's not something that's going to get nominated. And then when it was announced, I was like, oh shit. Of course it is. Of course it is. Listen.
I forgot that that movie came out, honestly. Like, swear to God, I totally forgot it came out. It
What's
just
yeah,
happened.
Disney Plus? No.
Yeah, it just happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that kind of a movie. Anything else, Jess, that you wanna mention before I move on to Nick?
No, I think I've made my opinions pretty clear so far.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Nick, anything you want to make sure we cover as far as categories or even just nominations are concerned?
It's kind of funny that Jess went to original score because we're kind of getting the microcosm of what we look for in movies and how it differs. I always go to cinematography. That's what I go to every single year. I think last year I made a pretty rousing speech, dare say so myself, about Roger Deakins because
Yes, you
I'm
did.
Freaky Deaky stan.
Freaky deaky.
Minor setback for a major comeback. He's coming back. Don't worry. He's not nominated this year, but he'll be back. But honestly, in terms of cinematography, I think it is going to be Oppenheimer again. But this could be a Killers of the Flower Moon situation because I think that movie is shot brilliantly and very Actually, I think that that could be an alleyway for a Killers of the Flower Moon win, but kind of a dark horse from just what I've seen of clips and whatnot. Poor Things is an interesting contender here. Just to see the creativity in that movie and the usage of camera angles, just from the clips that I've seen, we haven't gotten it yet, is very intriguing. And once I see it, I'll have a better comprehension. But that might be one to keep an eye out for with Poor Things and cinematography. But I do think it might be Killers and Oppenheimer as the two horse are.
I do. If there is a category that I want to praise Maestro for, it is
Thank you.
cinematography, because Maestro has one of the greatest shots I have ever seen in a movie, like across the board. It is a scene where Carey Mulligan's character is standing backstage. It's in black and white photography, and she is literally standing in the shadow of Leonard Bernstein while he's conducting. And it is just like, it was my jaw literally dropped. Like, I was just watching it like, oh, well, that
And
looks
I
really
personally
great.
also, I also loved how every era of his life they copied the sort of film style. So like it like went from black and white to like sort of like a grainy 60s, you know, and so on and so forth. Like I thought that was a cool touch.
So if there's one category, well, I will praise Maestro. And listen, my disdain for Maestro has not made me like Bradley Cooper any less. Like I respect his hustle, like you said, Nick. Like I just think that man is going to bat for these movies that he makes and that he chooses to make. Like I think he is just wholly committed, and I respect it. I just didn't necessarily like the movie. But yeah, cinematography, I think you're right. I think it's probably going to be Oppenheimer. Poor Things is visually interesting, so I'll be really interested to hear both of your thoughts when you do get to see that movie, what you think about the way it's filmed. But yeah, I think it's probably an Oppenheimer. Again, I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon yet, so I can't judge. And El Conde is on the list, but haven't watched it yet. I think the last thing I want to kind of talk about before we start wrapping things up here is that I'm just really excited that Godzilla Minus One was nominated for Best Visual Effects. Just awesome, awesome movie. It's funny because it kind of like brought the whole nomination process of how an international feature is nominated kind of to the forefront, because I heard a lot of people complain that it was not nominated. Godzilla Minus One was not nominated for Best International Film. And that's just because Japan did not choose to nominate that movie. But man, for the low budget, quote unquote low budget, like it was a $15 million movie, which is nothing compared to some of the
That
other
is
movies being
low.
made. Like it is just remarkable. The effects in that movie are incredible. It is not only the best Godzilla movie in several years, I would say it's the best Godzilla movie ever. It is just wonderful, and I really, really hope that it finds a way to take that Oscar, because man, that team just created something pretty incredible. So I am very excited about that nomination, hopeful for the win. But again, this is a situation where I'm like, man, at least it got nominated, because maybe more people will see this shockingly wonderful Godzilla movie. Anything else, you guys? Anything you want to jump in and talk about?
Oh man, I don't know. I guess Mission Impossible got two nominations. That's something.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
Are we not Dead Reckoning fans?
No, I love Mission Impossible. I think that Fallout was the best movie that year. I think Fallout is my favorite action movie I've ever seen, and I think it's a crime that it hasn't gotten more love over its duration. And I'm glad it's gotten a couple, like Jess said. But man, it's been cheated out of a few awards, in my opinion. But I love Mission Impossible, so that's me.
I do too. I'm a big Mission Impossible fan, and I was happy to see it get those sound and visual effects nominations. even if I don't necessarily know that it's gonna win, still cool to see it get those nominations.
Yeah, I will say too, maybe the award, you might think Maestro takes this award too, but maybe the most Oscar-baity movie that didn't get barely any love, Napoleon, it has to be a contender for that award.
Yeah.
I got visual effects because the first 5 minutes has a scene where a cannonball goes through a horse, which is pretty jarring, but it is a pretty.
Because you hate horses.
You hate horses, that's on the record as well. But that movie was so Oscar baity, it was insane. Having Joaquin Phoenix attached to it, it's just not it. But it's that has to have the award for the biggest, I guess, gassy fart of the Oscar award season. So just need to give that it's day in hell, I guess, because that movie
I
stinks.
call that a win for Maestro.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like I feel like you could say that that's the best, maybe that's the best or most farty scene in a movie. My best fart scene in a movie this year was definitely Dream Sequence. I don't know if you've seen that Nicolas Cage movie yet, but man, I don't even want to talk about the fart scene because I want you to experience it
Oh, I do want to
as
see that movie.
blindly as
Yeah.
possible. But yeah, it's funny, Nick, last year the thing that stood out for me about your appearance on the show that I had been had in my head pretty much for the whole year was Freaky Deaky. Like I'm a Freaky Deaky stan from way back. I like that. This year I think it's gonna be, yeah, I don't like horses. Just think
Yeah,
that's
it's a whole on thing. Bit my finger, all that deal.
yeah.
They could suck. They could suck it. It's I want to go to bed all angry. Unbelievable.
Well,
I'm glad it's
let's
out in the world now.
yeah, that's good. That's good. Now we all know. We'll wrap things up here with some plugs. This will help turn that frown upside down, Nick. Where can people find you online if you'd like them to kind of follow your social media presence?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. If you want to, on Twitter, it's mainly like Jacksonville Jaguars pro wrestling stuff. So if you want to follow on that, that's fine. It's just Nick Johansson and everything. I'm an easy person to find, just a big blonde kid. But unlike Jessica has a lot more things to plug than I do usually. So I just am a lowly advertising guy at Sanford. So go check out my ad in the Super Bowl.
Awesome. Jess, where can we find you online? And I know that you said that you had just wrapped up a show. Do you have something else coming up pretty soon or something else coming up later this season that we should know about?
Well, the Goodnight season is still going to be chugging along. I'm going to be helping backstage with a couple of their upcoming shows. They have an original musical coming out next week. Jane Austen, Sweeney Todd. My next show that I'll be in is the first week in June. I'm so excited. Doing a classic rock cabaret. And
Ooh.
I cannot wait. So hopefully this voice thing subsides quickly so I can start getting ready for that bad boy. But I'm not terribly active on social media. I am a little active on Twitter every once in a while just because I feel like that's a cesspool that I can hide in. And yes, I called it Twitter. That's what it's named.
That's what it's called.
On there, I think I'm Josica Jess Hansen. Otherwise, you can follow my handle Hawacha on a lot of different stuff. Don't ask me what it means, but
Yeah, do you want to
maybe
explain
it references a 2025 Oscar winner that I mentioned earlier in
that?
the show. Little Easter egg for you there.
Nice. Awesome. I hate to kind of refer to you collectively, but Johansson siblings, this has been an absolute blast.
Yes.
I really enjoy that this has become the new tradition to have both of you on, because it's just a really entertaining conversation, and just to kind of hear you two banter with each other makes me very happy.
Oh,
So
good.
very excited. And yeah, this will, stay around and stay cagey because yeah, you'll probably be back to do this again next year.
Love it.
Oh, we're there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Once again, a huge, huge thank you to the Johansson siblings. I enjoy getting to talk with them about the Oscar nominations, and I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna do it again. If as long as they want to come back, I will chat with them. Especially, fun to have it start off with Jess, just because she's that go-to person who gets it, who just gets it. And I think it's super cool that her brother is on that same wavelength. Just a ton of fun to talk to the both of them. That's gonna do it for this episode of the show. You can follow all things Fat Dude Digs Flicks by doing a search for Fat Dude Digs Flicks on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Letterboxd, TikTok, wherever. Just check your social media, do a search for Fat Dude Digs Flicks, and you will find me there. Subscribe to this podcast, like this podcast, rate and review this podcast, share this podcast with your friends. I am going to keep doing this thing until I get, bored or can't do it anymore. But it's always nice to get new listeners, and the best way to do that is with your help. So if you know of somebody who would like to hear movie conversations, please share this podcast with them. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Good Pods, anywhere you get your podcasts. If you do subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating or a review, rating and a review, whichever. Leave a rating, leave a review. Just do that because that also helps us get more listeners. If you subscribe to this podcast, not only do you get Let's Talk About, but you also get two, as of right now, two other podcasts. And that would be the Criterion Break, where I am joined by Blake Ginnethon and Derek Viering, and we talk about our love for the Criterion Collection proper and the Criterion Channel. And you also get the Blake and Derek driven podcast of The Balcony, which is a what have I been saying? From the art house to the multiplex and everything in between. It's a bunch of friends talking about their love for movies and whatever random topic we want to cover at that time. Like I said, Blake and Derek will be driving that car, but I'm going to sit in the passenger seat on most episodes. There will be some that I miss just because there'll be like overlapping things that we cover, but Blake and Derek deserve an opportunity to be heard, so that they can talk about movies. They're awesome. They have great opinions. They're just the coolest guys. I don't want to get all sappy about it, but man, I love those guys. And it's awesome to have another world kind of open up for them, so they get more chances to talk about movies for people to listen to. So definitely subscribe to this podcast channel, because you will get quite a bit of cool stuff. Also, if you want to subscribe to other cool podcasts, I highly recommend Screams from the Basement with Sam and Casey, Sam Lenz, Casey Kelderman, a couple of wonderful horror fans from the Sioux Falls area, my friends. And they are just awesome chatting about horror movies. Also subscribe to the Local Lou podcast. Local Lou, another great person. She is just really awesome and dives into some deep, like, things about Sioux Falls history and South Dakota history that I never knew. So it's just really cool to kind of listen to her talk about that. I'm also going to plug Reliving the Lights, just because I don't know that Anthony Huckman has started his OC podcast yet. But listen to Anthony, because man, that dude is also cool. And if you like Friday Night Lights, Reliving the Lights will totally be your jam. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, would like to send a recommendation, would like to be a guest on the show, would like to send a donation, just reach out to fatdudediggsflicks@gmail.com. That's it. I think that's it. I don't think I have anything else I have to talk about. I don't think I have anything else to say. But I will be back here next week with another episode of Let's Talk About, and we'll be back here next week, regular fat time, regular fat channel, and let's talk about movies. Thank you so much for listening. Please have a wonderful rest of your week. Be safe out there. Bye. you for listening to Fat Dude Digs Flicks.